What timeless lessons can we learn about Jewish education in the time of exile from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the story of the Jewish state in Egypt? The Rebbe addresses this theme in the first Sicha for Parsha Shmais in the Kutta Sichas, Chelek Aleph, and this year we're going to explore the Sicha inside. The Rebbe tells us, Oifin Pasuk Kola Ben HaYiloid HaYoirit HaShlichu V'Chola Bas Techayun. On the Pasuk, that any son, any male child who is born, should be thrown in the river, and any daughter should be allowed to live. Fekman, the Medrash Rebbe asks, why did Paro have to finish his teaching or finish his mandate, his act, by saying, not only should you throw the sons in the river, but you should also allow the daughters to live? If he only said, throw the sons, the boys in the river, and we know that you're not meant to throw the daughters in the river, you're not meant to throw the girls in the river, then clearly the girls are meant to be living. So what is Paro adding by letting us know that you should allow the daughters to live? We would think that Paro primarily wanted the boys to be thrown into the river, and what would happen to the girls didn't really interest him. But from the fact that Paro finishes his mandate, finishes his rule, by saying, all the daughters you shall allow to live, is the chmash, what that implies. As v'cholabas techayun is eicha gzeira, that Paro saying that every daughter you should allow to live is also a mandate, that is also an evil decree. The declarum therefore is, the clarification of the nature of this evil decree is as follows. Techayun is der taich undio undiuk, ir zolz lozen leben, ba leben. Techayun, you shall allow to live, means you, the Egyptians, should allow to live. You will be the source of their life. The exact same Egyptians who Paro told to throw the Jewish boys into the river, in order to kill, God forbid, their bodies, so Paro was telling the same Egyptians who were meant to slaughter the Jewish boys to keep the Jewish daughters alive, keep the Jewish girls alive. But how, in what way should the Egyptians keep the Jewish girls alive in such a way that the Jewish girls would follow the Egyptian lifestyle, that they would become Egyptians? Their meat is Eichvashandik. Now that we understand what Paro meant when he said Kolabas Techayim, that the Egyptians should raise the Jewish daughters, or raise the Jewish girls, according to the Egyptian lifestyle, we can understand why it is that Paro changes his decree when he's speaking to the Jewish midwives. When Paro speaks to the Jewish midwives, he tells them merely to allow the Jewish daughters to live. V'choya, they shall live. Not tichayun, you shall allow them to live, you shall make them live. Rather, they'll live. And Paro is primarily focusing, when he's speaking to Jewish midwives, on telling them that it's very important that they kill the Jewish kid, the Jewish boys. This is a very important mission. This is something they should do. In order to make it lighter on them, to make it easier for them, Paro doesn't tell them about the element of assimilating the Jewish girls. Und von dem, was der Teir sagt, beide Gzeres zusammen, in demselben Pasuk, ist er reis, der verkol bas techein, ist nicht kein kleiner Gzeres von, kol abene hayiloid, hayiloid hashlichu. From the fact, Rebbe says, the Torah brings both of Paro's mandates, both of Paro's decrees, in the context of the same Pasuk, brings them together, that both every boy should be thrown in the river, and every girl should be made to live. That shows us that every girl should be made to live is not a lesser decree then every boy should be thrown into the river. Often Rechman al-Litzan, Neshama, is a Zayhar, B'yavtayt Nem Guf, or Noch Erger. Killing the Jewish soul by assimilating the Jewish soul into Egyptian society is just as bad as killing the body, and in a sense, killing the soul is even worse. Vile. The reason being, Koshem Yisruchnes Yoyser Mimisa Gashmes, a Geist the Kertoit is Erger from a Kaper Lechem Toit. spiritual death is worse than a physical death. Like Rashi tells us in Sefer Dvarim, Hamachtil Adam Koshaloi Min Hahargoi. Somebody who causes somebody to sin is worse than somebody who kills him. The Dermander Xayir from Kola Bas Techayim, so their Tzirin Nidus Yikinder in Lebenkoch from Mitzrayim, is Eich Murmuz in Kola Ben Hayiloi the Eret Hashlichu. This decree of Paro, of every daughter you shall make live, every girl you shall make live, which means, as the Rebbe has told us, to guide, to raise Jewish children according to the lifestyle and the passions of Egypt, is also indicated, it's also symbolized by Paro's decree that every boy should be thrown into the river. The Techniel is given the Avodah Zarah from Mitzrayim. The Nile River was the idol, it was the object of worship of the Egyptians. So them the Mitzrayim Abin Gedint, which the Egyptians worshipped, that they served the Nile River. The Pasha Thesib is given, simply speaking, the reason was, Ve'el Nils is given Zeir Kval von Parnasa. The Nile River was the source of the Egyptian livelihood. In Mitzrayim, Gatenet Kin Regen, on the Felde, Veren Ongetorn Kin von dem Teich Nilus. In Egypt, there's no rain, and the fields were watered by the Nile River. And thus is Hayyurit Hashlichu. This is the symbolic meaning of you shall throw the child into the river. So that Tzvein Yonim symbolizes two things. Aleph, Golos Mitzrayim Begashmias, Oftein Rechman Atzlad, the Midrash Shibuf. The physical Egyptian exile, which focuses on killing the Jewish body. And Beis, Golos Mitzrayim Beruchnias, the Egyptian exile, spiritually speaking. Arayin Varfen Zeh, in their Avodah Zarah and Tanakh from Mitzrayim, throwing the Jewish people into the idolatry, into the objects of worship of the Egyptians, which is also what the Egyptians take pleasure in. Meaning to say that a person's life can be organized around all sorts of pleasure principles. Chassidus tells us the Hasidic psychological theory is that whatever a person does is ultimately grounded by what they take pleasure in. So if you take pleasure, let's say, in having a red car and a beach house, you'll organize your life in such a way that you'll be able to afford that red car and that beach house. If, however, let's say you take pleasure in studying a lot of Gemara, then you'll organize your life in such a way which will facilitate your studying a lot of Gemara. If you take pleasure in giving a lot of tzedakah, you'll organize your life in such a way that you'll be able to give a lot of tzedakah. So symbolically, throwing the Jewish child into the Egyptian river means taking the Jewish pleasure principle, raising children who will have pleasure in things other than Jewish things. Instead, they'll have pleasure in the cultural things that Egyptians take pleasure in. And why is it the case that the river symbolizes pleasure and symbolizes reorganizing their pleasure principle? Because we learn in Tanya, Vrum Yor Bashtet Fun Vaser. A river is constituted out of water. We learn in Tanya, Perek Aleph, that water is the source which ultimately allows all things which give us pleasure to grow. So for that reason, water symbolizes pleasure. Golos Mitzrayim, the Egyptian exile, is asherius to Aleph Golosin. That is the root, that is the source, it's the paradigm for all exiles, as we learn in Bereishis Rabba. Was von dem ist verstandig, als die Gzeus welche seien gewähnt, Golos Mitzrayim, seien fern in all der Golos. And from this we can understand, given that it's the case that the Egyptian exile is a paradigm for all the other exiles, we can understand that the decrees, the mandates, which will be in any future exile, all stem or all follow the paradigm of the Egyptian exile. Oich in Itzkin Golos, and the same be true in the present exile. And note that the Rebbe taught this sicha in the years 1952 and 1954, but it's still quite relevant in the year 2021. And the paradigm of the Egyptian exile, the decrees, that the mandates that were around the Egyptian exile, also manifest in our current exilic generation. Also now is Dodir Pari Melech Mitzrayim. We have the same Pharaoh king of Egypt, thus haste, meaning to say, from their land, the general assumptions and attitudes of the land. Velachatainet, which argues, then here the Rebbe was talking about the attitude in 1950s America, which is still very much the case in 2021 America, as menzal reinvar fin yiddish kinder and taich fin hogi vin mosei medina. There is an assumption, there is a claim that we should throw Jewish children into the river of the practices and customs, the lifestyle of the country, of America. Die Kinder sollen sich trunken und sei denn trunken in Teich. We should dip and drown our children in the river. Was leit zer meinung geht das die Parnasse. Which according to the thinking of these people, the river is what gives sustenance. It's what gives us money. Meaning to say that only if we follow a particular cultural lifestyle will we have money. Only if we completely surrender our identity and take on the identity of the country that we're in, will it be the case that we'll have money, that we'll have food to eat. That previsim we have to know. As the Alatainos from Hovenes Chakmaloi, Lilikeim, Komin from Pari Melech Mitzrayim, was the deal, as Zolnit Bleibin came sorry for Paltrach, and that's Lanfidishkeit, Fidish and Shamis, and Durch them, Oich Fidish and Gufn. Uwe Mele. Dürfen sich stellen mit der größten Starkheit einkicken deine Gseres und mechanisch sein die Kinder beruach Yisrael Saba. The Rebbe says it's very seductive to think that if we follow the practices of the country that we're in, if we relinquish our Jewish identity, if we compromise a little bit, then we'll have money. But really, says the Rebbe, we have to understand that all the adversity that we face in trying to make a new home, a new country, all the adversity that we face in trying to make money, and all the thoughts that we have that by giving in, that by assimilating, it'll be the case that we'll be successful. The Rebbe says, don't think that way. Because the pressure that we're experiencing, the pressure which comes from either an individual who instantiates Paro or a society which instantiates Paro, that pressure is ultimately coming with the objective of getting rid of the Jewish soul, and after that, getting rid of the Jewish body. So the right attitude, the right way to deal with implicit or explicit pressure against Judaism and the Jewish lifestyle is to be extremely strong, to stand with profound resolve against anything which might undermine our Judaism. L'poil meintas, practically this means to say, B'shas is handelt sich wegen der Zien Kinder. When we're considering how does it all raise our children, darf man nicht und man tarn nicht vertrinken sie in dem Nilus. We cannot and we must not drown them in the Nile River, Avodah Zarah from the land, which symbolically means whatever it is the land we're in worships. So the Rebbe thinks that in the West, what people are ultimately after is they're ultimately after a tachlis. They're ultimately into some objective. The question is always, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be tomorrow? How much money are you going to make this year? There's a certain element of not being in the present. There's a certain element of always running after more and more and more and more. And ultimately that running turns you into a slave of the society. So the Nile River, symbolically, at least in the 20th and 21st century, means throwing yourself into the constant pursuit of some purpose, of some objective. The Einzig Weg zu Leben is der vollständigen Chinuch in unserer Torah, Teres Chaim. The only way to live, says the Rebbe, the only way in which to properly raise children is to fully immerse them in the Torah without some consideration of what it is they're going to be. Es ist nicht was zu gucken auf andere Eltern. The Rebbe tells parents, you shouldn't look at other parents. Was ihre Kinder wollen auswachsen versorgte. That their kids are going to grow up all sorted out. Der wird haben ein Haus, this child will have a house. Der a car, next will have a car. There wird sein a doctor, one's going to be a doctor. There a lawyer, one will be a lawyer. Und der wenigste ist a Schichtputzer. And the very least of them will at least be a shoe shiner. Aber, as sie wird schicken ihr Kind in a yeshiva, wird er sein a battler. But there's a perspective that somebody who sends their kids to yeshiva, their kid's not going to have a job. Er wird nicht kennen a viele Putzen kein Schicht. He won't even know. Such a person won't even know how to hold a brush in their hands. The Rebbe is basically saying that in American culture in the 50s, and this is still the case today, there was this certain anxiety, this certain uptightness about how it is that our kids are going to make money one day, how it is that they'll be well arranged, and only if we assimilate to a very strong degree will it be possible that our children will have money in the future. But if, God forbid, we raise them to be Torah Jews, if we immerse them within a Torah culture, if we immerse them within Jewish ways of being, then they won't have any money, then they won't do well. So the Rebbe responds to this. They're convincing as their Eibishter is their zone of Mepharnes Lakol. We have to know that Hashem is ultimately the one who sustains everyone. And we do what Hashem wants, which is we should teach the words of the Torah to our children and speak of them. We sit in our homes. We walk on the street. And we go to sleep when we get up. If we fill our end of the bargain, says the Rebbe, and do what Hashem wants, then Hashem will fill His end of the bargain, and He'll give us parnasa, and He'll give us good lives. The Rebbe says we need to find good educators for our children. Not just people who say have an MA in education, but people who really live Torah, people who really believe in Torah. And these educators who are inspired by Torah and who live their lives according to Torah will raise up our children as Torah Jews. And thereby, says the Rebbe, will save both our children from the raging waters of assimilation, from the raging waters of society on the one hand, and will also save the entirety of the Jewish people by raising our children in such a manner, because there will be a remainder, there will be a continuation of the Jewish people. Because if we don't raise our children this way, if we send them to public school, or we give them some watered-down form of Judaism, then eventually Judaism will just cease to be, as our children will have assimilated. The Rebbe says, just as it's the case that the exile in Egypt is the paradigm for all exiles, so too the Navi tells us in Micha, Perek Zayin, that ki metzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim ra'anan uflois, just as in the days of your leaving Egypt, I will show you wonders. Meaning to say that whatever it was that was necessary to take the Jews out of Egypt then is also a paradigm for what's necessary for us to do in order to leave the current exile. If Geulas Mitzrayim state, with respect to the redemption from Egypt, it says, in Masechta Sota, B'schar Noshim Tzidkaniyes Shehayu B'Yisrael Ador, Nigalu Aveseinu U'Mitzrayim. In the merit of the righteous women who were that generation, our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt. Vas Habim Gitah Din Noshim Tzidkaniyes. What was it that these righteous women did? What was this righteous thing that the Jewish women did? So Paro had made a decree that Kol HaBen HaYiloi De'eret HaShlichu, whichever son will be born, whatever boys will be born, should be thrown in the river. So you might think that Jewish women might have despaired, and they might have thought, you know, let's throw the towel, let's not have any more kids, let's not raise any more families. But the Gemara there inside tells us that the Jewish women galvanized themselves, and they said, no, we're going to try and maintain family units, we're going to keep on having kids, whatever be will be, we're not going to reckon with Paro's mandates. We're not going to consider Paro's decrees. We are going to live a robust Jewish life. We're going to have robust Jewish families, and whatever will be, will be. And through that act of faith, was it the case that the Jewish people survived and they ultimately left Egypt. So it is now, says the Rebbe, in every single country, in America, and particularly in America, that if mitlegen kin acht, if them koch von der Medina. We should not give any weight to the passions of the country that we're in. And make calculations, what's going to ultimately be, what are we ultimately going to be, how are we ultimately going to make money? That question, which causes so much stress in capitalist cultures, and ultimately turns people into slaves of the machine. We have to educate our children, as Hashem told us to, on the Eibishr v'tfarzargen the kinder on oich elton. And that way Hashem will make sure that everything gets sorted out for the children and also for the adults. Davke durich den, was men rechen sich nit mit gzeres pari, particularly specifically by not taking Paro's decrees seriously, by ignoring Paro's mandates, Ratavit min the Eignekinder, min Beit Oich the Gula Klalis from Gans Nidishin Folk. We save the Jewish children and we bring the redemption to the entire Jewish people, Durach Mashiach Tzidkenu, through our righteous Mashiach, Bekarav Mamish, speedily and right away. Let's summarize this Sicha. Chazal in Bereishis Rabba tell us that Golos Mitzrayim, the Egyptian exile, is the paradigm for all future exiles. So the Rebbe considers in the first Sicha for Lekut HaSichas Chelek Aleph, Parsha Shmos, what exactly is it that Golos Mitzrayim can teach us about the contemporary Golos if we zero in on the following narrative. We learn at the beginning of the Parsha, Paro makes the decree. Kol HaBen HaYiloid HaYo'ir Tashlichu. Whatever son will be born, throw him into the river. And every daughter you shall keep alive. The Rebbe asks, why is it that Paro needs to specify every daughter you shall keep alive? Paro was only interested, seemingly, in killing the sons. Why mention the girls, why mention the daughters? So the Rebbe infers from the Pasuk that the word tichayun means you shall make live. Not that they will live, but tichayun, you shall make live. Meaning to say that what Paro wanted with the Jewish girls, and the Medrash in fact learns this way in Shmos Rabba, Paro wanted to assimilate the Jewish girls. The Rebbe says that we can also look a little bit more deeply at the story of the Nile, and that Paro wants the Jewish boys to be thrown into the Nile. So of course, Paro meant that literally, but symbolically, what does it mean to be thrown into the Nile? So the Rebbe says the Nile symbolizes the idol. It symbolizes the object of worship of the Egyptians. It symbolizes what they viewed as the source of sustenance, given that the Nile irrigated the entire land of Egypt. So throwing your son into the Nile means throwing your son, completely giving your child over, sacrificing your child for the Egyptian machine of sustenance. And similarly, water also symbolizes tainug. It symbolizes pleasure. In Hasidic psychology, the pleasure principle is viewed as the organizing principle of all human activity. All humans and all animals, for that matter, do that which brings them pleasure, and they refrain from that which brings them pain. But people have different pleasure principles, and what it is which gives you pleasure will generally be different from that which gives somebody else pleasure, and very often it's mediated by the cultural context that you're in, and can depend on the way in which you were educated. So throwing children into the Nile River early on, throwing them with the Egyptian water source early on, means inculcating them within Egyptian pleasure principles and ripping them away from whatever Jewish pleasure principles would have been. So now the question is asked the Rebbe, how does this apply in the contemporary context? So the Rebbe is saying the Sicha in the years 1952 and 1954, and particularly in those years, the Rebbe was fighting very, very much against Americanization and assimilation. The Jewish people in America at that time are coming out of war-torn Europe, or perhaps they had escaped a little bit earlier during the pogroms and social unrest in Russia. But generally speaking, in the 50s, the Jewish people were looking to assimilate. And thank God, traditional Judaism has made significant leaps and bounds in the ensuing 70 years between when the Rebbe said the Sicha and when this year is being recorded. But that said, there still is a lot of Americanization and American infiltration into Jewish communities in such a way which could threaten the continuity of the Jewish community. And one particular does the Rebbe see as the concern. The Rebbe says that in Western society, particularly in America, there's a focus on tachlis. There's a focus on always considering what's going to be tomorrow. How am I going to make money? How am I going to have a career? How am I going to be able to put money in my retirement fund? And that sort of constant seeking of what's going to be, what's the objective, instead of living in the moment, instead of being present, instead of focusing on what your mission is in life, instead of focusing on your authentic self, that constant treadmill, that hamster wheel, which is very pervasive in capitalist societies and can also manifest in different ways in communistic societies, but nonetheless, That often causes Jewish people and causes people in general to completely discard their culture, to completely discard what they inherently value, and throw themselves into the machine of trying to make money. Whether you throw everything away for your child to be a doctor, you water down your Judaism for your child to be a lawyer, to be a chemist, an academic, the Rebbe says a shoe polisher, but people don't want to send their children to yeshiva. They don't want to give their children a robust Jewish education because they're concerned that by giving their children a robust Jewish education, there's no tangible outcome, there's no tangible objective that they can get from that. So that, the Rebbe tells us, is the contemporary Nile. And ironically, when the Rebbe is talking, in this particular context, there is no Paro Melech Mitzrayim. There is no government which is actively, negatively forcing you to leave your Judaism behind. It's more of a zeitgeist, it's more of a culture which says that the way to get ahead is by assimilating, the way to get ahead is by giving up your unique identity or compromising on your values. So if that's the Nile, what's the antidote to the Nile River? The antidote to the Nile River, the Rebbe says, as we learn in the Gemara Maseches Sota, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios, in the merit of the righteous women, Yatzah Avasein Mitzrayim, that our forefathers leave Egypt. And there, the Gemara Sota tells us that although it's the case that power came down with many difficult decrees and many strict mandates, the Jewish women ignored all of those decrees and mandates, and they said, we're going to maintain a stable Jewish family unit, we're going to have children, come what may. And that act of radical faith, deciding to maintain a Jewish family, and deciding to have an attempt to raise Jewish children, even in extremely trying circumstances, ultimately allowed the Jewish people to survive and leave Egypt. So similarly, the Rebbe is telling us, that even if it seems that by not compromising on our values, that by not assimilating, by not giving in, by not watering down and making our Judaism more lukewarm, we don't realize, we don't understand how it is that we're going to be able to be survive. The Rebbe tells us, have faith, and you'll see that you will survive, you'll thrive, and you'll flourish. And 70 years after this was said, it's very interesting to look at the communities that the Rebbe built and to look at the many communities which follow this approach of living a robust Judaism, and contrasting that to many other communities who took a more assimilatory approach. It's true that many of the communities who took a more assimilatory approach might have gained financially in the short term. But in the long term, if you look at the more traditionalist communities, first of all, at least in America, those communities are doing quite well financially. They're quite robust financially. And perhaps more importantly, they are still thriving, surviving, and growing, while communities who did not follow this path are, in general, in a state of crisis, a state of shrinkage, and in some cases aren't even doing that well financially. So as the 21st century brings us new challenges, may we be inspired by the Rebbe's call to faith, and may we realize, may we become cognizant of the various Nile rivers which society tells us to throw our children into, and that we have the faith to resist and flourish, and ultimately leave Egypt.